And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah! Unafeared, 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 here in Declare. Your independence from me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAU Default Studios of Freedom of the Nats, freedomsphoenix.com. Ooh, that was better than last hour. All right, what we're going to do today is, in the third hour, Dr. Judy Mikovits, we got the Freedom, the Vaccine Education Summit, we'll call it this time, the Vaccine Education Summit, our second one that we've done. We did one a few years ago. She's going to be speaking, one of the main speakers, along with Del Bigtree and a bunch of other big names in the movement of You Get to Be Informed. And this is going to be a really big show. And we have, I mean, it's just, you know, constant. It's really getting, it's going to be a crowd, you know, it's coming in pretty fast. So we've had a lot of help on that, so that's going to be an interesting conversation in the next hour. Along the same lines, we have Dr. Daniel Lark. Now, he's a graduate of the same naturopathic university that Dr. Tamburi was in. I'm sure they know each other, but we've met Daniel in Hawaii at Mark Victor's wedding. It was Donna and my vacation. We did like a 9-dayer there. Woohoo! And we met the doctor, and we met him again at a Patriot football game last Sunday at Mark's. And we're just like, man, you got to get on. We can talk about it. Regenerative medicine, just getting introduced, say, yo, what's up? And then, you know, he might have a couple of students. We can scholarship to the Vaccine Education Summit. That's one thing. Let me go ahead and give you a little bio on Dr. Lark. Dr. Dan Lark is a board-licensed physician specializing in men's sexual wellness. Ooh. Erectile dysfunction, Peyronie's disease. All right. He specializes in this. I need to know this disease. All right, Dan. You know, a Peyronie. What? What is that?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You gotta be careful not to, you know, bang on stuff and make noise.
Got it.
Train dogs in the background, whatever. Okay, now this Peyronie's disease. What the heck is that?
So Peyronie's disease is not necessarily a disease. It's a condition by which we have essentially a deformation of the penis. So we can have a curvature. We can have indentation, an hourglass. From a number of different things.
So you're going to come out with what? A pill or a knife?
Neither, as a matter of fact. That's the beautiful part of regenerative
Thank you.
Right.
That's what I was getting into. Okay, another problem, you know, premature ejaculation, testosterone therapy. You got low testosterone. I guess you could have too high. I don't know. Is there such a thing? Various other forms of regenerative medicine, including PRP shot, skin okay, so you're helped keep men and younger, longer, faster, and kick butt. You're full health kind of guy.
That's correct. My goal is to be a safe place for men to come to address issues that they might not want to address with either a female doctor or a doctor who might be uncomfortable dealing with some of these issues.
Okay, now this is, you know, kind of, you know, overlaps with Dr. Tamburi. He specializes in the prostate. That's where he makes his bank, is that, you know, prostate thing. Is that, you know, included with your treatments or observations also?
You know, I do a preliminary evaluation, and if I find out that there is indeed issues with the prostate.
Then you send him to Frank.
Frank is a good man and a great doctor, and we'll send him to someone who specializes in that. Absolutely.
You know, this is, I'm interested in the school. You coming out of there, we made contact. I didn't get a, you know, this is what was going on. We wanted to make sure that the kids there, the students, that they had the ability to be exposed to the science and the other side of this vaccination thing. And only recently, that because these naturopathic schools, Arizona is a little bit different, you can help explain that, that they want to get on the dole. They want to be able to take insurance. They want to be governed by another board of the same one of kind of, and they can tell you what you can and can't do kind of thing. And I'm like, all of that is why I thought naturopaths wanted to be separate from that. And, you know, they have a relationship with the patient, and it's just a drive to, it's like they got low self-esteem or something to go in. Now the school has to, you know, require vaccinations to be a student and so on. So we're going to go out there and pass out a bunch of stuff either the end of this week or beginning of the next week. And I'm wondering if you have, you know, some contacts, faculty, student that might want a free ticket. They go get exposed to some real information.
Yeah, exactly. The vaccine discussion is a pretty hot topic right now, certainly across the country, certain states, California, and I know I have colleagues with children up in Oregon who are just devastated by some of the legislation that's being passed right now requiring mandatory vaccinations without the ability to have medical exemption. But certainly, yeah, here in Arizona, there are, you know, as naturopaths, we is digging deep and really seeing the what's really behind the curtain with vaccination, the information on vaccinations, the research that they can cause harm, not in everybody. There's a few theories on that, but there's a lot of students and people here locally that. It's a hot topic.
Well, we didn't even call it, you know, anti-vax or anything. That was not the point.
Right.
It was a vaccine education. In fact, there was a naturopath last time that we did it in Scottsdale that was using vaccines as a way to introduce some chain beneficial of whatever. He saw that there, you know, I'm fine. I just want the freedom. It to me is the mandates. You know, this you have to and you can't. And that's anything that I want to know in any society I belong to or they want me to belong to or say I belong to them, whether I like it or not. I go, what do I have to do? What am I prevented from doing? And what's your conflict resolution? That's all I want to know. And that all this have to and can'ts, then you start to see, you know, who's really in charge of what. So your experience in naturopathic medicine has been, how long have you been a doctor here?
You know, this is my ninth year of being a doctor. I got a little bit late start. I didn't actually go to medical school till I was 45. But I couldn't think of doing anything else than what I'm doing right now.
Well, what brought that on? What were you doing before?
Well, you know, it's interesting. My I'm trained as an aeronautical engineer as my undergrad.
Yeah.
I designed airplanes and spy planes for many years. Went off into manufacturing consulting, the world of 3D printers. I was on the front end of that. And then even recently had some my hands in 3D printing of metal parts for both medical applications, hips, knees, spines, and as well as aircraft parts. And what happened is in 2001, I loved what I was doing. And suddenly I was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma.
Whoa.
So that was right between the eyes. This was before.
Okay, lymphoma. Tell us what lymphoma. We hear all these omas and so on. Don't know what they mean. Go ahead and tell.
Right. Well, your lymphatic system is a big part of help your immune system and moving things through the system, cleansing out, removing things from the blood, and once you end up with cancer in the lymph system, it very quickly can go systemic, and then hence the stage four. So,
all right, boom. We want to hear about that and your recovery, and if you're recovered, what recovered, and what motivated you to be a naturopath and heal people, be somebody. We want to hear every little thing when we come back in just a little bit.
From the fourth letter of Captain Mark. Landlubbers are conditioned to believe that the originators of an idea deserve exclusive rights to it, but these innovators are nothing but privateers, granted a monopoly by the crown. Potential inventors are restricted from using their own property and forced to navigate a wilderness of prohibited ideas. These patterned monopolies are intellectual colonization. This alliance of means between the crown and the privateers is not an alignment of ends. Both collude to establish a permission culture, in which everyone second-guesses their own thoughts, never sure which ideas are permissible to develop. But their objectives are different. The crown aims to cripple dissenting opinion, while privateers will only be satiated when all new ideas already fall under their monopoly. This scheme does not protect our information, but seizes it and denies us access. The future belongs to individuals who think, speak, and act freely to create and share without reservation. Join the conversation at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
Good morning, Dr. Dan.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, this is going well. I want to hear, you know, like your first memory at three and all that kind of stuff, so we get to know you.
Right.
But when we go through this, what I'll do is I want to know more about your cancer, what motivation got you to take a career change here, and how and why, and your wife. Were you married to your wife then?
No. I was single at the time and didn't get married for, another 15 years, almost 10 years.
Damn. So how long have you been married? You guys been married?
7 years now. I didn't get married till I was 50 years old. First marriage.
Damn. All right.
Right.
Well, you know, whatever. You know, she's lovely. So you win. You came out ahead.
Right.
Yeah, that's how I look at it. I win. Oh. You know, when we were younger, I remember this. I hadn't thought of this in a long time. My best friends and I, you know, we're 19 to 22, around there thinking, you know, what's success and all that. And one of my friends one time said, he goes, you know, the one thing you envy another man more than anything else is his wife. You know, it had, you know, his career, his car, his this, that, whatever. But if the guy's got a good wife, he wins. And then I'm like, yep. I win. No.
Well, yeah.
Now, behind, there's some. There's a sound. Where are you at?
I'm in my office.
Okay, there's like, you know, sometimes when you're just, I got the mic up, there's a bunch of sounds. There's something coming through. Is there?
You know, let me see if I can't shut that off.
Well, what is it?
It might be the radio in the background. Or the air conditioning system.
Well, I think it's radio. It's voices. It's like somebody's. Yeah, ain't you ever heard? You know, been on radio, talk radio before. Turn down your radio.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's the background Sonos. I just you shouldn't hear it now.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Sorry about that.
That was being pain in the butt. All right. We're back in about 45 seconds. I want to talk about your illness. And then motivation, and you started this career path, and how did that go? And a lot of these guys, I've seen it before, and it's like the young naturopaths, they'll come in, they spend a lot of money on doing this stuff, and then nobody teaches this one thing that Dr. Tamburi goes on. He has to teach them like business stuff. None of these guys, they come out with their liberal mindset of somebody give me a job, I got my degree, and you know, fork over the cash and plug me into the system, and they don't realize they got to have a business, you know. And
exactly,
you know, so this is you know, and then to be on the right issue and have the confidence to stand up to this kind of stuff. That's why the Vaccine Education Summit, I think, would be good for them. All right, here we come back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're right back with Dr. Daniel Lark. Now, you say it Lark or Larky? You say Lark, right?
Yeah, he is silent. Right. Absolutely, Lark.
Okay. Now, Dr. Daniel, I wanted to Lark. See, that's another thing. I have a lot of friends that are doctors, and I just don't you know, the doctor thing, do I get, or I call him by the first name, doc, whatever, get over it. You know, no disrespect. Yeah. But, you know, the thing that I want to know is about your disease, you know, your lymphoma that you have, which is, how does it, okay, your lymph system is, it's like a companion circulatory system. It takes a lot of the waste products and toxins, right, whatever, and it, you know, goes out and empties into your intestines or get something, you know, I have no idea. Yeah, that's what doctors are for. But the point is that if you have cancer of that system, that's like bad, and it can, you know, spread out through different places. Well, what is it that you're cancer of? In the lymph system, what's a cancer do?
Well, it multiplies your lymph nodes start to grow out of control. So one of the early symptoms you have is lymphadenopathy, which is enlargement of the lymph nodes. So they're, you know, we have them along the jawline, the inguinal area, and the groin. They're all over. So a lot of times when we just have an illness, right, when we get the flu or we get a cold, they can enlarge. It's one of the things that a doctor, when he's doing his exam, is palpating for, to see if your lymph nodes are enlarged. So depending on how severe it is when you have cancer, we'll notice that systemically they'll start to enlarge. With mine, what was really interesting is I was in what I thought was the healthiest point of my life. I was running marathons, I was doing triathlons, I was in a gym, and suddenly I had unexplained weight loss. So I was at, well, let's say about 195 pounds, and I slowly started to just losing weight. And that was combined with, I had intermittent night sweats. So about every month for about 3 days, I would wake up in a complete soaked through the mattress. Like nothing. This isn't just a little bit of perspiration on the brow. Cancer night sweats, which are classic to many cancers. I mean, you wake up and if you've got a t-shirt on, it's soaked. It's like you just stepped out of a hot tub.
Well, what is that from? Is that like trying to fight an infection? Is it trying to sweat it out? Your body does that for what reason?
That's my understanding is, and again, as you may know, is that, you know, when we have infections, the body raises the body temperature to try to kill off, you know, the pathogen. So
and then we keep taking some kind of medication, aspirin, acetaminophen or something to lower the temperature. You never really kill off anything and we die. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So this goes on, and it's literally, they're terrifying. When you wake up, it's absolutely terrifying. And then followed with what we call a sort of a very mild malaise, which is almost like flu-like symptoms where you just feel off. Well, the first time it happened, I was on vacation down in Key West, and I thought, well, you know, maybe it's a little sunburn. My body didn't handle very well. I was not in the medical field, so I had no idea. Well, when it happened 3 nights in a row, the third morning I took a cab and I checked myself into the ER, and they couldn't find anything. You know, within a day, 2 days, it was gone, back to normal. I went to my doctor when
okay,
I
okay, how old were you at this time?
I was 38.
Okay.
So I go to my GP. And they couldn't find anything other than it was mildly anemic, and they couldn't explain that. So I was running at the time, and suddenly I couldn't run for more than about a half an hour before I became winded and exhausted, which was not right. So fast forward to, you know, the doctor couldn't figure it out. A month later, the exact same thing happened. I was on a business trip and just in the fetal position in bed, night sweats, all the same thing repeating. Got back from that, went to, you know, the quickest I could get in was to go to one of these emergency care clinics. And mildly anemic. I pointed out to her, this is interesting, I pointed out to her that that I had some bumps in my groin area that were actually enlarged lymph nodes. And she wrote those off as no big deal. Finally, I ended up going to see an infectious disease doctor. He accused me of being a hypochondriac. Along the way, I'm losing weight without explanation. I'm dropping from 190 to 180 to 170. Ultimately, I pleaded with my doctor, we've got to do something. So he sent me in for a CT scan, sure enough, I had lymph nodes enlarged all over. Not enough to really cause too much attention, but under the CT, you could see that they were enlarged. He referred me to an oncologist. I got a phone call on a Saturday after an exam. They did a pathology exam, and he said, get in here. We've got to start chemo. So
now that's one thing. As a naturopath, you went through this process. Was this motivational for you to go into a naturopathic medicine? And then, you know, what's your opinion on different chemos now as opposed to, you know, like eating kale or something?
Yeah. So this is exactly why I went to medical school. I had always had an interest in medicine, fitness, nutrition, the whole thing. At the time, I didn't know anything other than, you know, when you're under allopathic care and you get the C word, you're basically railroaded through the system. Yeah. It might be a little bit different now, but
define allopathic. I understand natural and allopathic means the modern. What is the epistemology of allopathic? What the hell does that mean?
Really, it's this is traditional medicine that we would imagine, which is what we see right now when you go to an MD or a DO, which is that standard of care that you get with what we call.
So you got to be careful when you say traditional medicine. My head goes to, you know, before that.
Yes, exactly. Well, yeah, before that was naturopathic medicine, before it was discredited and everything back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. But so it would be what we know today as standard of care medicine, which is
ATM medicine,
surgery, radiation, chemotherapy, exactly. So, I went through that, didn't know any better. 6 months of chemotherapy, and I came out the other side, you know, alive. The good news is that the form of lymphoma, I had Hodgkin's lymphoma. There's been a lot in the news you hear today about non-Hodgkin's lymphoma with Roundup and glyphosate. But the lymphomas respond, for the most part, especially Hodgkin's lymphoma, responds well to chemo. What we know now is not all cancers respond well to chemo, despite the fact that we see most cancers go through chemo if it's indeed stage four. But I responded well. I think also in part due to the fact that I was very healthy going in, and I continued to work out. I went to the gym, and I was sweating out what I call the toxins, the byproducts of the chemo. I was cleansing the system throughout everything. So,
you know, being healthy, taking on all this stuff is always gives you a better shot at it, but a lot of times these chemos will make you unhealthy, and you can't even fight off. So this is something, and I want to get, when we come back, his decision to go to naturopathic medical school after being cured of lymphoma. We're going to find out when we come back.
Right,
Dr. Lark, just a little bit.
Why did you move to the show?
Ernie, do you have video on me right now? Because I can't see a screen.
I have, well, it looks like you don't have your video on.
Oh, how do I do that?
What I'm playing is I have, it just says, there you go.
Oh, there we go. All right.
It says,
I can't.
It says Dan, and you can't see the screen or anything?
No, that's weird. Because I've used Zoom before, and I usually can see myself, and I don't see where. Oh, wait a minute. I think I got to turn the camera around. No.
No, your camera's good. I can see you now. See, we have graphics and videos of you and different screenshots
fine.
And your company and all that kind of stuff. So they're seeing something pretty, you know.
Gotcha.
But let me see if I got some setting, because I had to mute you before when you came on when I was talking to Bumper, because all that background noise.
Right. Okay.
Okay, video, make, pin video, rename chat.
I can see your last guest, and I didn't know if that were the case with me.
Okay, well, we do this.
Not that you need to see me.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I don't care. You know,
doesn't mind to me. I just didn't know if you guys could see what was going on here and me picking my nose and all that fun stuff.
Not yet. Okay, so let me, if I stop the share. And I go to gallery view. All right, your camera's covered.
Oh, it is. Let me see here. There it is.
There. All right, so now I can see you.
We decide whether or not that's acceptable to be seen. And
no, I had it because you didn't have it on, so I had these other graphics
right.
on. Okay, so this is, can you see the screen now?
Yep, absolutely. I can make adjustments to it, whatever we want to do here.
There you go. Yeah, cut your headroom down a little bit. Have it go down.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. How do I do that?
Move the camera down.
Oh, I see. There we go. Like that?
No, the other way.
This way?
Yeah, keep going. There you go. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, we'll do that.
All right, that's fine.
We'll see your pretty face. Because, you know, I can just hit this and I see the graphics and then I can put our pictures over it. And
whatever you think is best, I'm down for.
Yeah, we got enough of your crap. We'll actually, you know, all this other stuff, graphics and so on. We'll just go ahead and look at your pretty face. All right. Okay, now we're at the point to where, okay, you got this. You go through the process. It responded to the chemo, and then you're, like, semi-healed, and you're planning on you go back to school. And the motivation for that, and to select naturopathic as opposed to what you just went through, I find that of interest. So it's just, you know, we're just getting to meet you and say, yo, what's up?
Right.
And, what do you think? You got some, faculty or students you think I should sponsor, you know, go out there and get them to go to the Vaccine Education Summit? I used to think that people going to naturopathic schools were already kind of this mind, let's look for other solutions first kind of deal. And now they're just, I can see how Big Pharma does. They just beat you into submission and you got to and have to, not allowed. And you want, don't you want this carrot a dollar over here? Well, then you got to say this and policy of. And I'm going, you know, this is what you get when you want to be like them.
Right. Exactly. You know, something I noticed too. So you'd mentioned earlier about students coming out of school.
Well, let's talk about it. We're coming back. Here we go.
Okay, gotcha.
Please follow and share at dlive.lrn.fm. That's dlive.lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Yeah, we got a high price on, you know, because we keep talking about, you know, freedom and stuff and natural, not the man, and kind of, oh, you're not allowed. Now, Dr. Lark has gone through this, but from a different perspective. He's, you know, it's like I started university a year later. I lived out for a year, saved money, did whatever, and I, you know, go to school. When I did that, I was in a totally different mindset than a lot of the other freshmen, you know, and I'm going, whoa, you know, joined a frat and kind of, you know, and it wasn't for partying, it's because they had all the answers to the test in the file cabinet. So I go, hey, I'm with you guys. I'm going to do engineering, man. It's rock and roll. So it's all of a sudden you're 50, you know, or close to around, and you're going, yeah, I survived this cancer thing. I think I want to do this doctor thing. I'm going to do a naturopathic thing. Explain that to me. Wait. I got to push the button. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There we go. So, you know, coming out of this, what I found was, while I did try to stay healthy and work out, I literally, when I was done with chemo, I was toxic inside. I was gray and pasty looking. And I ran into a woman who said, you know, you really need to check out this woman. I was living in Dallas at the time. And he said, you really need to check out this woman. She's a naturopathic doctor who might be able to help sort of detox you. And get you on your way, you know, post chemotherapy. So I made a call, and she seemed to know what she was talking about, and she put me through a 3 month cleanse protocol, changed my diet, you know, some shakes, supplements, and I'm telling you, within those 90 days, my brain, I went from brain fog to supercomputer. My brain, I hadn't had that much clarity in quite some time, and it just opened my eyes to such a subtle change in diet, what it could do for me. So I started talking to her about her background as a naturopathic physician, and then I looked at the schools that are out there. But what more importantly, the bigger overview for me was, I did very well. I was a manufacturing sales consultant selling large ticket item manufacturing machines, these 3D printers. But suddenly, it wasn't about the money. There was just more. And you know, they say that when you go through cancer, you know, your priorities change. Well, it did for me. And there just, it wasn't enough to just sock money away and do things. So I actually met with a life coach slash career counselor, and we went through a battery of questions and tests. And she, you know, by the time it was all over, she said, look, you've had an interest in medicine for years. What's stopping you? And I had to sort of look in the mirror and go, you know what? You're right. I almost died. I beat cancer. My mantra became, don't waste another day. Don't leave anything on the table. And so within a year, I resigned. I started pre-med classes. But along that journey, I always say, once you discover naturopathic medicine and truly licensed, accredited naturopathic physicians who go to an accredited school, you can't turn back. You can't undo the understanding of how this can help you and the modalities that are available to you to help resolve illness beyond just pharmaceutical medication, surgery, radiation.
Because you personally had your own experience with the power of nutrition, and you're going, whoa,
right.
You know, that's like, you know, let your medicine be your food and your food your medicine kind of thing. And I'm going, this is, I mean, to the point, I tell you what motivated, we were at the football game, okay? I don't know if you remember, Tom Brady comes out, and I'm like, what the hell is that? That guy keeps getting younger every time I see him.
Right.
So I go like this, I was on my phone, of course, A was like, you know, she didn't like you being on your phone. But I go to look up Tom Brady, I'm like, what the hell is going on with him? It's called TB12, Tom Brady 12, whatever the heck that is. He wrote a book with his nutritionist, and they're kind of ouch quit it and got their own line of whatever the heck. But I'm telling you, he is at the same game. What happened? You got Roethlisberger on the Steelers, just not looking that healthy. You know, the boy is not, he's not doing TB12. And all of a sudden, his elbow goes out. Boom. It's just like, ow. So he's out for the season, just throwing a football. And I'm going, I'll bet you if you had Tom Brady's nutrition, that wouldn't have happened. And that's
right.
The point that Brady is making. It's nutrition. He's gone, I don't know what the heck, it's all vegetable and this and that and protein, that, right. Whatever he does. And that guy is getting younger as every year I go, because I don't pay attention, I don't care. It's always football season, and of course, Mark's all Patriots. So I look, I'm going, he's getting younger right in front of me. So this nutrition, is that a big part of your practice?
It is certainly nutritional. Most of the issues that I see with men can be resolved with a lifestyle change with nutrition. It's just, unfortunately, it's a long road, right? The body is an amazing machine that can correct itself. It knows how to fix itself if we remove the obstacles that are in its way, which primarily are our diet and you know, what we're putting in our pie hole. But this is an excellent segue that I have to tell you about. So on Monday night, I went to a movie. There was a group of us, including Mark Victor. There was a movie out now called The Game Changers. And this is actually, one of the executive producers was James Cameron, right, with the Titanic. And this movie documents a number of professional athletes, amateur and professional, but who have made a diet change to go to what we call plant-based, whole food, call it vegan, call it vegetarian, whatever you want to. But they are absolutely rocking. Am I still there? It looks like the screen went out.
Yeah, no, I'm looking for the Game Changers. I want to pull up the...
So in essence, what's going on is that these professional athletes took a leap of faith to remove meat from their diet. And not only did their performance get better, but they're now at the top of their game. They're professional bodybuilders who are now removing meat, who are bigger, stronger. There are strongman competitions who are bigger and stronger, professional cyclists, and half of the front line of the Tennessee Titans have gone vegetarian or plant-based, and they're getting faster, bigger, better, and stronger. And here's the key: less inflammation, less downtime, faster recovery than when they were eating all that protein and meat. And the big thing is, we say, well, how do you get your protein? Studies have shown now that you get all the protein you need from the plants. That guy's amazing right there that you're showing. He is a strong man. The trailer alone is so motivating. So I actually just made the switch. I've been through this before. I'm training for an Ironman right now. I'm going to do the half Ironman in a month. And it's hard to refute the evidence that
they
put
forth. Hold on, let me turn the sound off. There you go.
There you go.
The we've done Spartan races. I've done a couple of Spartans, Super Spartans, and then Donna's really doing it this February, but I'm going to miss it because going to Narcopoco. But the first one I really trained for. The second one, I was the photographer. But anyway, the first one I wanted to go legit. I was over 50, and I'm like, man, nope. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do all my penalty burpees. I'm going to do all my stuff. I trained. I ran. I, you know, got in pretty good shape, you know, for that. Did it, and it was very satisfying. I enjoyed it. Now all the grandkids and everybody, and they're going to, you know, play Spartan. The thing is that you learn a lot about just some of the methods that you you have to get ready for this. And the biggest, most important one was nutrition. It has such a big deal, and that's why I do bulletproof coffee all the time now, because it helps my brain so much. But I am the nutrition part is just now. I mean, it's always been important, but when you got guys like Brady out there kicking ass, and you know what? It wasn't from a steak. You're going, you know, they can't make that argument anymore. But I'm wondering, and the China study, I remember I had to read that because Mark was on my ass years ago. You got to, I get it. We're going to talk more about nutrition in the future when we come back with Dr. Dan Lark. We'll be right back.
From the fifth letter of Captain Mark, first contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords. But if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Okay, we got one more segment, and what do you want to fill it with? And you want to get into your philosophy, political, the future of medicine, how to say. There is a sound. There's some in the background. Is there something playing? Oh, it might be an echo from me. You know, because I think there might be a feedback from me. But anyway, all right. So as long as you can hear, what do you want to make sure we get in the next 10-minute segment?
Oh, let's see here. Certainly, we can talk about the future of medicine. We talked a little bit about what I do. You know, regenerative medicine in general is really sort of part of the future of medicine also. I don't know. We've got, 15 minutes left, a little less than 15.
Well, it's like 10 minutes on air.
Yeah.
And then, So what we'll do is, hair regrowth. What?
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What's the latest on that? You know,
we can talk about it, certainly.
Well, you know, we know some guys that, you know, they keep trying to, you know, keep it. And I'm, you know, I'd rather have it than not, but I'm, you know, this regrows your hair and makes you a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex, but makes your toenails fall out. So, I mean, you know, there's always something, you know, I have no idea.
Well, we got some great stuff that is emerging that can help that. So it's exciting.
All right. Well, I like to hear about it. You know, let's talk about you know, about hair growth and weight loss and, you know, billions beat to your door. So, you know.
This is great.
Okay, hold on. All right, we'll be back in less than a minute.
All right.
Idea that we you're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Rock and roll right now here in Declare Your Independence. You know, one of the big things is, you know, I declare my independence from being, like, made sick. You know, let's not do that. As time has gone on, it's been in the last 10 years. It was because when my first granddaughter was being born, this is how it went, Dr. Dan. My first granddaughter's being born, and I'm going, you know, it doesn't seem like I'm going to be able to do horsey rides, you know, as much as I thought I would. So I, you know, got in shape, started eating better, juicing a lot, you know, doing smoothies, whatever. I just kind of, just to feel it, I was just feeling myself go. And now, you know, with 12 grandkids now, I'm like, woohoo, man, you got it. You know, amp up the nutrition and make sure you're doing a lot of bulletproof. So this is it. That was my motivation. Yours, you had cancer, you're diseased, you come out, and you had a nutritionist, a naturopath in Texas get you on the right path. You went, whoa, I'm all Tom Brady'd up now. So now you decide you're going to go to school and, you know, learn this stuff. And how did you select what kind of medicine you wanted to do? And why were you successful coming out where so many of these young guys weren't, from life experience?
Great, great question. You know, I had, you know, being a cancer survivor, I had all these grand plans of getting into oncology. And when I get out of school, I did. I started working with a doctor that specialized in naturopathic cancer, oncology. It was difficult because I realized it was a little bit too close to home. You know, I remember sitting in chemo, you know, big room with lazy boys, and you've got your IV bags all hanging around. And 1 week you're having a conversation with somebody and tell me a little bit about your background. The next week you come back, you typically come back weekly or biweekly, every other week, and then they're not there. And you ask the nurse, well, where is Betty? And she's like, she didn't make it. And it is just difficult. So you've got these patients that are coming in really grave states, many, many times late stage, that, you know, with even with the best efforts, you know, you can't help them. And it's very difficult emotionally. It really stirred up a lot of emotions that I just realized it's probably not the best place for me. And with me, I got a phone call from a colleague that said, hey, I'm working at this clinic. We specialize in men's wealth. Men's health. And I went in, and there's a Freudian slip. I filled in for a few times, and ultimately I fell in love with it. And I really felt I resonated well with helping men with their needs. I could talk to them, dude talk, right? Helping them be much more comfortable.
Yeah, you were a 29-year-old kid telling a 55-year-old guy what's important and not, and how, the whatever, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, the confidence level with my background. And ultimately, I ended up taking over the clinic. When I say take over, becoming the primary physician there, and absolutely loved it. And then I dug in. I learned everything about men's health that I could. Primarily, we were erectile dysfunction, hormones, but I brought in a number of these things, regenerative medicine, right? Using what we call PRP, a platelet-rich plasma, to help accelerate the regrowth of tissues.
You know, this is one thing my son-in-law did, and a good friend of mine did. He held off hip a replacement for, God, a decade by doing it was a procedure with stem cells and the platelet thing with an ultrasound, being able to specifically lay down, you know, the stem cells with these platelets to help it heal the gut, something. I mean,
right.
You know, they're doing all kinds of research with stem cell everything. Well, my son-in-law did the platelet. They take your blood and they take your clogging, you know, what gives you, you know, your clog, your platelets, and then they inject it into the damaged area of the ligament or something, and it creates the inflammation everybody's trying to get rid of. Well, your body needs that inflammation because it creates a circulation around something that normally doesn't get a blood supply so that it can heal it. And that's what you're doing, is you're creating like a fake injury or inflammation in a specific area for it to naturally heal. How far off am I?
You're pretty darn close. There's a couple different there's something called prolotherapy, which is really induces inflammation, and it really just triggers the body. It's like kicking that area and saying, hey, you've got damage here, and I'm here to remind you that you need to get in there and accelerate and do the healing. With PRP, we're doing that, but we're also imparting or adding these growth factors, which come from your body. They come from the platelets. The platelets open. They release these growth factors, which there's growth factors for vascular repair, for all sorts of tissue repair, everything. And so it's not just creating a little inflammation. Then you're giving the body concentrated tools to repair that in an accelerated way. So you can go into a joint capsule, like you're saying, and help the body regrow cartilage, whereas otherwise it wouldn't have the capability. So you can put off, depending on what's going on and how severe it is, you can put off knee replacement or a hip replacement by doing some PRP. And again, now you can mix that with stem cells. And there's even the new emerging thing is called exosomes, which are these signaling packages that the stem cells make to use to communicate with each other. So you'll hear much more about something called exosome therapy, which is phenomenal. They're doing great things with it.
Yeah, I'm looking up on the health section on PiratesWithoutBorders.com. We have, you know, a bunch of the news. Well, here we got scientists discover new strategy to protect against, you know, baldness and blah, blah, blah. We'll talk about that a little bit. But, you know, there's so many of these. There was a story about the regeneration of the nervous system, you know, of actual brain cells and so on.
Yes.
And there's so much of this stuff. We have, you guys go here and you just, it's story after story after story after story. And then when you get to the bottom, there's more story. So it is all this tech that we're talking about now. Tell me about the baldness thing. You know, I'm sure you got a couple of people showing up saying hello.
Right. Yeah. So certainly with thinning hair, and bald men, there are techniques to use both PRP, platelet rich plasma, and stem cells for doing a number of things. So it really depends on how severe the hair loss is, because there's a number of reasons why we lose our hair as we age. Male pattern baldness, you know, we're aware we got that classic ring around the head. You know, you look like a Franciscan monk. But with thinning hair, you have the capability of using the PRP and then going in. You can add the PRP even with stem cells or with exosomes, and you can go and selectively inject in the scalp. And then you can use the PRP also topically with what we call a microneedling technique, where it's a pen that it's almost like aerates your skin. You go in, it punctures the skin, and you're getting the growth factors in and around. So it helps thicken the follicles and nourish and really kickstart the existing follicles to grow thicker and stronger. But also it can trigger dormant follicles to start growing again.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. That's what they always say. Okay. So does it work? I mean, are you having some good feedback on this?
There are a number of yes, it can work. Again, it depends on how. If you take somebody who's been bald for years, you've got a tough road to go. But indeed, if you've got thin hair, there are great results with this. If it didn't work, people wouldn't be doing this. This is it.
Well, you know, my son-in-law, because finally he just shaved his head. He's just bald now, you know, and unfortunately he's got a pretty head, so it worked out for him. But, you know, I'm going, okay, he tried this, and then he wanted to, he was really looking to invest in this. He goes, man, this really worked for his knee injuries, you know, from tennis and so on, and to the point that he was able to run a marathon. He was training. And I'm going, damn, it worked, I guess. So he's like, oh, yeah, we're going to get my hair back. Woo-hoo! And then he wanted to do it. He figured it might get better results if he didn't use anesthesia on his scalp. He said that was a mistake. Yeah. He goes, he didn't like that.
God bless his soul. Right.
You know, but so he tried it. It didn't work enough fast enough for that. He shaved it, you know. So it depends. We'll see. There's not a cure-all for anything, but it's a whole other line of medicine that's about first, do no harm, and eat right.
Indeed.
You know, I can do more with diet and exercise. That's what Dr. Leonard McCoy Bone said on Star Trek. Diet and exercise all the way into the future. Get over it. Thank you, Dr. Dan Lark. He's a new friend, and we just wanted to introduce him to you and say, hey, yo, what's up? Hold on a little bit. I want to talk to you for a second. We'll be right back. Dr. Judy Mikovits
is spreading the message of...
Okay, I wanted to make sure that I got an opportunity for the students at the school. Now, Frank gave me the woman's name that is the main been there forever front desk woman. And we were heading down there to pass some stuff out right when we found out that Dell Bigtree was coming. So we had to redo everything. So we're going to go back and pass it out with that new information. So what do you think is the change over how long on the attitude of doing this vaccine issue at the school?
I'm not sure I understand that.
At the school, you know, it used to be at the naturopathic school, you know, kind of, well, we're looking for natural and not mandate and whatever. They want to be, you know, just like the other guys and govern and rule us. And then all of a sudden, okay, well, then you got to advocate for vaccinations. Your students have to get mandate vaccinated. You got to, I mean, you're down the dark path, you know. So,
you know,
how long has that been, and what's the vector for me to encourage these students to go? I'll sponsor them and get a bunch of students.
Right. You know, it's only been, I think, since I've been out of school that I've seen that. And again, it's, I hate to say it, but it's sort of follow the money, right? I don't know that they're state subsidized, but they're accredited. The school is accredited, and they have to toe the line to some extent.
Yeah. See, I'm that is how they do it.
Yeah.
And I just, of course, I'm so shocked, you know?
Well, Ernie, you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said, when these students come out of school, I was interviewed by the school just recently in a little video, and they said, what does it take for one of these students coming out of school today to be successful? And I said, you have to be a fantastic clinician, but on top of that, you better be able to become
read a P&L.
entrepreneur, and because there are no hospitals that are going to hire you, there are very few clinics that are going to hire you, and even if they do, you're going to be a 1099. You're running your own business. So fast forward to now, we're getting inroads into insurance companies accepting some of the things that we do, and
because there's a death knell right there.
I have seen it more than once. These students come out with these great expectations, and when they put up their shingle, their sign on the door, and when the patients don't start coming in, they get desperate, right? They got to pay the bills they've got, and so suddenly they'll do whatever they have to, and if they start taking insurance, and now they got to toe the line. They got to.
Yeah, that's one thing. Dr. Tamburi was, we've known him for a long time, and I think he started off as the only one that only took cash, and now his whole practice does, all the doctors.
Oh, yeah. And I don't take insurance.
I'm sorry?
I don't take insurance. Yeah, absolutely. You know,
this is, and that's one of the things. Yeah, I'm open about it. Yeah, I'm going to go get my, prostate examined, and Dr. Frank, we're going, woo-hoo, and kind of, I'm not like a secret about it, but this HIPAA thing is, you put it all digitized, electronified, and goes on in the man. And I'm going, screw him. I don't need them to know. You know that,
right.
So I'm like, hell no. I'll be open about it. I don't care. It's just the point of it. No. So we're not filling out HIPAA paper. And we have a dentist that's a libertarian oriented naturopathic kind of dentist thing. And of course you do paperwork and all that. I'm just not hip to HIPAA thing. And if you're doing any insurance, you're right in the middle of all that crap. And I just assume not, you know. So now we got another option. All right. Dr. Dan Lark. Thank you. I got to get to my next guest. You know, thank you for coming on. We'll do this again. You got some issue or great, wonderful, or politics, or they're trying to pass or something, let me know. We'll go kick some ass.
You got it. Ernie, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Doc. Bye.
All right. Take care.